Romans chapter 5 again, mainly verse 19. Now remember, I gave us 10 statements from Scripture concerning the fact that God's people, that is the elect, that's what the book calls them, right? The elect. Those who were predestinated unto the adoption of sons.
Yes, sir.
We've looked at that. That's what it says, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. That's
it. It says we were predestinated unto the adoption of children, and the better word is sons, by Jesus Christ to himself.
Amen.
Now, these people are a special people. Old Testament Scripture says that concerning Israel, right? They're special people unto the Lord. And we know that in the nation of Israel, there were the elect, right? As a matter of fact, Romans, and I'm not going to have to turn to it, but in Romans, the Apostle Paul quotes David of saying, there is within Israel this elect number, and everybody else is blinded, and they will not hear. God's determined it that way.
Yeah, that's it.
People say that God wants to save everybody. They are liars.
Yep. Amen.
The book nowhere ever teaches God wants to save everyone.
Exactly.
There are passages that directly state, they don't even imply.
No.
They directly state that God purposed to damn some people because of their sin. And that's just the way it is. But now the problem is that the elect, as compared to these other people, we are just like they are by nature. God did not look down from glory, or he did not look from eternity into time and see certain people and say, well, they will do this or that good thing, therefore I choose them. God chose that we believe. God chose that we repent. God chose that we work. As Joe read, even our good works are before ordained of God. You don't come up with the one of them. I don't come up with the one of them. If I come up with any work, if I'm the one that instigates it, that starts it, it's shot full of hail.
That's exactly it.
It's an evil work, no matter how religious and scriptural it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is. It's not that those. If it's not a work that's before ordained of God, it's an evil work.
That's it.
But our problem is we're just like everybody else, and we're still on the first one. Now, Paul, you may have to start changing the title on some of these because it's going to be about 500 messages long. I may be preaching on this till I die. So that's all right. I mean, well, I don't care about the title that much. But, you know, if people go to the website and they look, you know, you got God chose a people, and it's about 80 messages there. You know, so where do you start? I guess you start at the beginnings where you should start. But be that as it may. There's the first one. We were judged and condemned to a fallen state in the one sin of our father Adam.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is a truth. We talk about people hating election. They do. Depraved man hates election. But depraved man hates this as well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you even hear it on TV. There's even a movie entitled Original Sin.
Yeah.
They don't know what original sin is.
Exactly.
When they hear of original sin, you can almost sense the anger beginning to well up when you begin to tell them what original sin is. Original sin is basically this. I had not done a thing. I didn't even exist yet, and God Almighty condemned me as his enemy.
That's right.
That's right. Hadn't done anything, good or bad, David.
Exactly. That's right.
God Almighty condemned me as his enemy.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because my representative head sinned against God in the garden.
Yes, sir.
He represented me there.
Yep.
And when he partook of the fruit of that tree, he fell. And when he fell, I fell with him. I fell just as far as he did. That's what Romans chapter 5, basically the middle portion of it, teaches. Right? Verse 12 specifically, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed. See, not is passing. We're not even here talking about physical death.
No.
We're talking about spiritual death.
Yes, sir.
So death passed, past tense, death passed upon all men, for that all have, not will sin, once they're, that's not it.
No.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not the point Paul's making.
Exactly.
For that all have sinned. How did we sin? We sinned when Adam sinned in that garden. You could put upon this middle section, actually all of it, but especially upon this middle section of this chapter, you could put a title over it, representation.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Adam was in that garden, he represented us, each and every one of us. And we stand or fall, or I should say stood or fell, in him.
Yeah.
Somebody says, I don't like that. It don't matter.
Exactly.
I mean, it really don't matter whether you like it or not. That's what God Almighty purposed. That's what God Almighty did. It's done.
Amen.
Now, you either by the grace of God bow to it, or in the depravity of our fallen state, we rebel against it. One or the other.
Yeah. That's it.
It's kind of negative, ain't it? And that's like I said, the DAC was stacked against us before we was even born.
Exactly.
Verse 19 says, look at now, before I read it, let me emphasize something, and it's important. Paul never says we fail by one sin. But he does say we fail by one man.
Yes, sir.
And you know by the study of Scripture that it was just one sin. That's all it took was one sin for us to fall.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, Paul never says one sin, but he does say one man. Right?
Yeah.
And like I said, if you study the preponderant testimony of Scripture, you go back and look at the account. God didn't say, now, I'm going to give you three choices. You know, three strikes and you're out. No, God says one strike and you're out.
Amen.
You see, that's this, well, and this is the way we are. You see, we are so depraved, we want to give people a chance. God never gave man a chance.
Exactly.
He said, he told Adam, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So it not only entered by one man, it entered by one sin. Now that's important. Because remember, Christ is, or Adam, is a figure of him that was to come. Right? All that happened in Adam, to Adam and subsequently to us, is a figure of what happened in Christ. And subsequently what happened to those who are in Christ. Now, we have looked at, as I would say, the negative side. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. God didn't ask me my thoughts about the matter. I think Earl gave an illustration once, and it's a good illustration. It doesn't totally cover it all, but it's a good illustration. Just like when you have two countries, and you have one country declare war against the other country. Those two countries then are enemies, right?
Yeah.
But the point is, even the children on those two respective countries become enemies of the state of the other country.
Yes, sir.
This is a legal thing.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's a legal thing. That's what this is. A legal thing.
Yeah.
I was condemned to be a sinner before I ever sinned.
That's right.
The reason I sinned after I was conceived, born, the reason I then sinned is because I was, listen, not just born one, that's true, but because I was accounted to be one. I was made to be one.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that what that says? For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners.
Yeah.
The connection is to the one disobedience of this one man.
Yeah.
It's the... Some preachers have put it this way, and it's another good illustration to help. You know, a man doesn't become a thief because he steals. He steals because he's a thief.
Exactly.
I mean, and I've said, you say that to people, and they'll say, well, I don't believe that. But, you know, that's common sense.
Yeah.
You know, that's just common sense.
Mm-hmm.
A man doesn't become an adulterer because He goes to bed with someone other than his wife. He does that because he is an adulterer.
Exactly.
A person doesn't become a liar when they lie. They lie because they're a liar.
Exactly.
So anything you've ever done, any sin you've ever committed, that didn't make you bad. That was the manifestation that you are bad.
Exactly.
Same goes for me.
That's it.
This is why a lot of people, because they maybe have not committed a lot of overt things like other people have, and they say, well, I'm a pretty good person. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like one pile of dung saying to another pile of dung, I don't stink quite as much as you do.
Exactly.
You're still both piles of dung.
Exactly.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
We fail in Adam.
Yes.
And that is not a pretty picture. Obviously, it doesn't stop there, does it? For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, folks, if God gives you any kind of grace whatsoever, I shouldn't say that. That's not right. If God gives you any degree of grace whatsoever, that will begin to be one of the joys of your life.
Yes, sir.
Because it lets me know, if I'm ever to be righteous, it depends nothing upon what I do.
Exactly.
Nothing to do with me. I didn't become a sinner because I sinned. I was made to be one in Adam. And if you're ever righteous in God's sight, it'll have nothing to do with what you do. It has all to do with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your faith won't make a lick of difference in this world. That's right. You got some of these people out here, they're arguing as to whether it's grace and faith or grace and faith and baptism. No, it's all grace.
Amen.
It's like Joe read in Ephesians 2. The first statement is not, for by grace are you saved through faith. Is it? The first statement is, for by grace are you saved.
Amen.
Period.
That's it.
Because when Christ was raised from the dead, we were what?
Raised with
him. Now that's particular in the Greek. It's not we were raised by him. You see, we're not even talking about something that happened in time for us, but something that happened in time with Christ.
Yes, sir.
When he was raised from the dead, everybody he represented was raised with him.
Amen.
When he ascended and sat down at the Father's right hand, everyone he represented ascended and sat down with him. He's our representative, like Adam was. And for us, that took place before we were ever born.
That's right. Exactly.
Now that's grace right there.
Yes, sir.
That's God doing for us in spite of us.
Yeah.
That's not God cooperating with us, nor is it us cooperating with God. Somebody said, well, what about faith? I ain't going to deal with that this morning. I ain't going to deal with it. Because how can you believe? Because faith is believing, right? How can you believe the truth if you don't even know the truth to start with? So let's talk about the truth and what you need to believe, not about believing itself.
Yeah.
See, that's what most people are doing.
Yeah.
From the Arminians, the Calvinists, the Baptists, and the Church of God. They're all trying to just get people to believe, but they're not telling them what to believe, who to believe. They're not telling them what the truth is.
Exactly, that's it.
The truth is this: so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, a few little notes here that I've jotted down concerning this thought. You remember in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, it says that Jesus was around 12 years old, right? His family had went to Jerusalem, been there for several days, and they left Jerusalem. Well, Mary and Joseph thought that Jesus was with some of the other people of the caravan. Well, he wasn't. And they traveled, 2 or 3 days' journey.
Yep.
Well, they realized, he wasn't with them.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they probably have him up on charges. But nevertheless, that's true. So they went back, and where did they find him? In the temple.
Yeah.
Disputing with the doctors and the lawyers.
Yes, sir.
And of course his mother said, don't you know we was worried about you?
Mm-hmm.
And you remember what he answered her? 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He was obedient.
Yeah.
to God.
Yes, sir.
You see that? He was obedient to God. John chapter 9, verse 4, we have our Lord's own words about an event. And let me turn there and read it. John 9, verse 4. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Yes. In other words, he was doing what God Almighty sent him to do. Right?
Amen.
He was obedient. And this is especially in light of this man who was born blind. Right? So much so does the scripture testify to our Lord Jesus Christ's obedience, right? It says, therefore, as by one man's obedience shall many be made righteous. So obedient was Christ, as testified to by the law, by the prophets, that Christ Jesus himself said in John 8, verse 29, I do always those things that please the Father. Now, if I even think that, I feel dirty and unclean.
That's it.
You know, there's people today who profess to be Christians. They think they're really good people. No, they're not.
That's exactly right.
You know? If they're not, if they are, they're not fit for grace. Exactly. But grace ain't for good people. Grace is for sinners.
That's right.
No, our Lord Jesus Christ could say, I do always those things that please the Father. He was obedient. So much so that when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he said, here's a man approved of God.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
A man approved of God. And then not only did this testimony, was it there, not only was there these facts to back this up, but we have in Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, we have on the Mount of Transfiguration, we have the fact that the Father himself acknowledges, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Amen.
That's what he said when he was baptized.
Sir.
He was obedient. When Christ stood transfigured on that mount, God again said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then he added, what? Hear ye him.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ was obedient. But here's the question. Is this the obedience of Romans 5, verse 19? Is it? No. Now, does it all play a part? Of course. But I'm here to state that if Jesus Christ had come into this world in the flesh and did all that he did up through this time and pleased the Father, and Mason then went back to glory, we would have all still died in Adam.
Yes, sir.
Because that obedience doesn't cut it.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Good works, per se, does not atone for sin.
Exactly.
Even Christ's good works did not atone for our sin.
Amen. That's true.
You see? There's a lot of people, what they believe about Jesus is just, well, He did good works, and he showed us how to do good works, and he believed God, and he showed us how to believe God. And he lived and was obeyed God, and he showed us how to live toward and obey God. No, there is a crowning obedience. Now remember the inference of the text here. We're talking about one sin, right?
Yes.
By one man made many sinners. So in like turn, as it says, and let me read, verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even though there was no law. Because where there's no law, God does not individually impute sins to a person's account.
Yeah.
But God did impute sin,
yes, sir,
to the whole human race,
oh, yeah,
even though no law existed. That's why he said, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even those that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come.
Yeah.
And then this is why it says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. When Adam sinned, we fail.
Yes, sir.
When Christ obeyed, now it's slightly, when Christ obeyed, he did not automatically make us righteous. Because we were still born Not righteous in Christ, but how? Sinful in Adam.
Exactly.
Right? But what did he do when he obeyed? He guaranteed that we would be made righteous.
Yes, sir.
And isn't that what that says? So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
Amen.
Now there are a lot of theological terms and phrases I could use, but it boils down to this. Those for whom Jesus Christ obeyed shall be righteous in God's sight.
Amen.
Jesus Christ did not obey God on the behalf of all the human race.
No, sir.
If he did, they all what? Shall be made righteous.
Exactly.
Because everyone Adam represented sinned.
Yep.
Everyone Christ represents shall be made righteous.
Amen.
Now this is the teaching of this whole chapter.
Yes, sir.
And people lie. They'll run to John 3:16. They'll run to God as no respecter of persons. Well, when they do that, go back to Genesis and say God had respect unto Abel and his offering.
That's exactly right.
Don't even try to answer their question. They're just trying to trip you up.
Mm-hmm.
Go to another passage of Scripture, and it says God had respect unto Abel and his offering. Isn't that what it says?
Yes, sir.
That's just as true. Now, let them go figure out what that really means.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not up to us to defend God.
No.
We're here to declare the truth. And I don't mean just me here. I mean, as believers, we're here in this world to declare the truth of God.
Exactly.
Not to debate people.
No.
Not to argue about it. Not to try to go into some theological discussion. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Exactly.
Remember, one sin, the fall. Made sinners, condemned, judged. One obedience guarantees righteousness. And that's the way I'm going to begin to state that, because that's what it's saying. And look at it. Moreover, the next verse, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Now basically, the law came along to show us how bad sin really is. Okay? Sin is not a mistake. You know?
That's right.
A mistake is when you have the anchovies and you know it's going to give you the heartburn for the rest of the night. That's a mistake.
Yeah.
You know? It has nothing to do with sin.
No.
A mistake is when you put on two different kinds of shoes and go to work. You know? And they say, what kind of idiot is this? That's a mistake. It's not a sin. A sin is a crime against God. It's a capital crime against God.
Amen.
Punishable by death.
Exactly.
Day you eat thereof, you're going to what? Sure to die. The soul that sinneth, it shall what?
Die.
Law and sin is associated with death. The law shows me how dead I really am in and of myself.
Yes, sir.
That's what the law does. The law, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But look at this. But where sin abounded,
yes,
grace did superabound.
Yes, sir.
That's another way of putting it. Grace did much more abound.
Amen.
This even after law sin.
Sir.
Not just Adamic sin. You see? Not just Adam's one sin.
Yeah.
But all other sin as well.
Yes, sir.
Right? Because the law is now entered. And where the law entered that the offense might abound. Look. But where sin abounded, grace did go even far above and beyond that.
Yes, sir.
Now when anybody says, or even infers, that someone for whom Jesus Christ obeyed,
yeah,
can somehow possibly sin in some way as to not receive the grace and mercy of God, they are lying on the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look, that next verse, that as sin hath what? Reigned unto death. Even so might grace do what?
Reign.
Amen. Through righteousness unto eternal life. How? By Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Yes, sir, that's right. I fell in Adam. One man, one sin. I fail. But thank God I have hope. There was one man and one obedience. And in that, many shall be made righteous. Question is for me to figure out, am I one of that people or not? Huh? Am I one of that group or not? See, this is totally opposed to the way so-called Christian religion today teaches. They teach, well, Jesus died for everybody. But that didn't quite cut it. Now you've got to add something to that, and then they vary. You add your faith to it, that's all it takes.
Yeah.
Others, you add faith and repentance to it, that's all it takes.
Yeah.
Others, faith, repentance, baptism, that's all it takes. Others, faith, repentance, baptism, church membership, that's all it takes. You know? No, it doesn't take any of that.
Exactly.
All of those things flow from this one man and this one obedience, Jesus Christ. Faith is a gift of God. Repentance is a gift of God. Works were foreordained of God.
Yes,
church membership, He placed each one of us in the body as it pleased Him.
Amen.
That's what the book says.
Yes, sir.
You don't join the church, He puts you in it.
That's exactly right.
Well, I joined the church. Well, too bad for the church then. The sooner they find out what you are and get rid of you, the better off they'll be. No, there is a crowning obedience, and Paul speaks of it. Philippians chapter 2. Now, again, before I read this, let me emphasize, I am not belittling that obedience of Jesus Christ. It's like, you know, what was, I remember Tim James saying this, what was Jesus Christ doing those 12 years prior to that temple when we really don't hear much of anything? We're not told anything about His younger days, were we? And I like Tim James' answer because it's the truth. It's backed up by Scripture. He was being perfect.
Yes, sir.
That's what I like.
Amen.
That's what He was doing. He's being perfect. From the time He was 12 years old, when we read of Him in that temple, disputing with the doctors and the lawyers, until that time when He's about 30 years old and he shows up in the wilderness to be baptized of John. Or just prior to that, begins calling his disciples. What was He doing? He's being perfect. But remember, that obedience, all of that good work, all of that obedience never took care of any sin, Adamic sin or sin against the law.
That's right.
But there is one obedience that did.
Amen.
Now look at it, Philippians 2, verse 5, mainly for sake of time. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men.
Yes.
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient.
Yes.
Do you see that? And became obedient, but what does it say? Unto what? That word. Death. Even the, you see, it's not just even death on the cross. Two thieves died on a cross.
Yep.
They didn't take care of Adamic sin or sin against the law. But it was the death, you see. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God said, in the day ye shall up thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we all died in Adam.
That's it.
That's right. But, guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ represented a group among that people.
Yes, sir.
And He went and suffered actual death and actual separation from God. You know, remember, my God, this is what He cried out. Why hast thou forsaken me? Did God forsake Him because of Himself? No, He was perfect. He pleased the Father.
Yes, sir.
It's because when it says, Scripture says this, when He hung on that tree, He bore our sins in His own body on the tree.
Amen.
Oh, there is that crown in obedience. He said, I gave my back to the spiders.
Yeah.
I gave it to them. Now let us remember, it's not that he died because he was obedient. Now, we could say that yes, because he obeyed God, he spoke the truth, he did the works of God, evil men killed him for it. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, they didn't say, we kill you for these good works. They lied on him.
Yes, sir.
But that's not what Paul's talking about. It's not that he obeyed God and died because of it. He was obedient unto death.
Yes, sir.
His death was obedience to the purpose of God.
Yes.
He took our place, and he died in our stead. He is our representative. He is our substitute. I heard a man preach that this morning. Said Jesus Christ was a substitute. And then talked about the people that he was a substitute for going to end up going to hell.
Oh, yeah.
So in other words, his substitution don't mean diddly squat.
That's it.
Right?
It must be.
I mean, if Christ died for one person that ends up going to hell, it was not Christ that made the difference. But according to Scripture, Christ is the one who made the difference. That's the gospel. Now let's look at Romans 5 again and some more of the context. I got just a few moments left. Romans 5. Now I know this is familiar to us, but this is the gospel. See, this is what you are to believe. You know? It doesn't matter whether you really understand faith and believing or not. It doesn't matter if you can define or not. If you believe this, God's done something for you. Now, I don't mean you just know it's a fact. I mean you believe it.
Yeah.
It brings you joy. You love this. You trust this Christ.
That's it.
Look at what it says. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength. Now, even if we got a free will, it wouldn't do us any good.
Exactly.
We're without strength.
Yeah.
Isn't that what that says?
Yeah.
But the truth is this, and I want to try to keep hammering this on as many times as I can. Free will is not truth. Free will is self-will disguised in scriptural language.
Yeah. That's it.
That's what it is. And self-will is condemned of God.
Yes, sir.
God doesn't say you're free. God says you're in bondage.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 6. Isn't that what he says? He said you're a slave. You're not free. Right? Look, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen.
Well, somebody comes to me and says, well, I seen what you did. Well, I wish you hadn't. I'd rather kept it from you. I wish you hadn't seen that, because I know if you get mad at me, you'll go out and spill it to everybody else. You know. But you know what? It really don't matter. Christ saves ungodly people.
Yes, sir.
I am one.
That's it.
I've sinned against God.
Yeah.
I still sin against God.
Yes,
somebody
sir.
Said, well, you're using that as an excuse. No, that's a fact.
No, that's it.
Whether I use it as an excuse or not doesn't matter. It's a fact. You know, it's a fact. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. And Paul is speaking comparatively here.
Yeah.
Because he's already showed us legally there are no righteous, there are no good.
Exactly.
But he's simply talking about among men.
Yeah.
As men see men.
Mm-hmm.
You know. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes, sir.
Much more then, being now justified, how? Now most everybody's out there, if they talk about justification, it's always, always justification by faith. Justification by faith. Justification by faith. Justification by faith. Justification by faith is of no value unless there's already justification by blood. The devils believe and tremble, but they're not justified by it.
Exactly.
Right? Simon Magnus believed and was baptized and got rid of his sorcery. Didn't do him any good. His heart still wasn't right in the sight of God. Now everybody's telling, well, you just come forward, believe, be baptized, God will do this for you. Why didn't he do it for Simon? Huh?
Exactly.
Why? Is he a respecter of persons? No, because God's got to make the heart right first before believing and baptizing to be doing is of any value.
Exactly.
I mean, you can believe all day long. You can be baptized all day long. You can join the church.
Yes, sir.
Won't make a lick of difference unless God's already made your heart right in His sight.
Amen.
All religionists always want to put the cart before the horse.
Yep.
They want to put man before God.
Exactly.
Much more than being justified. How? By His blood. His Christ's blood is not a flowing stream.
Yeah.
It was shed one time.
Amen.
For sin.
Right.
Forever.
Amen.
And you people sing songs, they write to get your sins under the blood. You can't. They either already were or they will never be.
Exactly.
Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Do you see that? If He justified you by His blood, you shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son.
Yes.
Now let's just stop. When were we reconciled to God?
Yeah.
Go out here and ask almost, not quite, but almost everyone, they will tell you when you did something.
Yeah.
When you believed, when you went forward, when you gave your heart to Jesus, when you got saved. We were reconciled some odd 2,000 years ago when He died on that tree. And if I wasn't reconciled then, I will never be, no matter what I do.
Exactly.
Okay? And if I was reconciled then, what does it say? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Bless God, if He reconciled you, you're going to be saved.
Amen.
I say that to everyone here this morning with no fear. Well, it might end up being false. No. If God loved you and Christ died for you, He owns you.
Yes, sir.
Lock, stock, and barrel, and He'll have you.
That's it.
And if He didn't, you're not one of His. And no matter how much I may emotionally think otherwise or wish it to be otherwise, that's the right way to be.
Yes, sir.
So be it. I mean, I think of this because I not being there in that exact place, but I can relate to the emotion.
Yeah.
Of when Abram cries out, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee."
Exactly.
God said no. Right?
Amen.
God said no. He said, Isaac's going to be the one that lives before me.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, you know, and a lot of people, I used to, when I was in Sunday school, and that's one reason why you ought not go to Sunday school. They'll ruin your head.
Yeah.
They will. They'll ruin your head.
Oh, yeah.
As Earl said, that another old preacher said, you know, Sunday schools are a bunch of people that don't care anything, or a bunch of people that don't know anything about the Bible, teaching a bunch of people that don't care anything about the Bible.
Exactly.
They'll lie to you.
Yes, sir.
I done forgot where I was at now. Let's just go back to Christ. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And He goes on to show how this is true even in spite of our fallen Adam.
Yes, sir.
Right? Even in spite of the fact that the law came and sin abounded. Where sin abounded, grace did what?
Much more abound.
Much more abound. Now, it's even this. You either believe that or you don't.
Yep.
So you're either saved or you're lost. That's where it is.
Yeah.
Well, should I join the church? Don't worry about that. Be concerned about the person and work of Christ.
Yes, sir.
How do I really know if I'm one? Listen, I don't care if you've been around for 30 years believing this truth, there are going to come days when you think you ain't one.
Well, that's right.
Yeah. Because you know deep down you don't deserve to be one.
Exactly.
And that everything you do is opposed to being one.
Yes, sir.
And that may become my theme verse. And even when you've done all that is your duty to do, we not only say it, but sometimes God lets us taste it. I am but an unprofitable servant.
Amen.
You know?
That's it.
Somebody said, that's an awful low place to live. That's all right. God tells us, let us live low. Christ is the one who lives on high.
Yes, sir.
He's exalted. We can boast in Him.
Yes, sir.
Father, I pray that as we continue here together in this meal and fellowship, Lord, give us the knowledge, but not only knowledge, but the some wisdom, Lord, in what we seek to endeavor to do and things we've mentioned. And Lord, even above that, may it be that we truly have fellowship in Christ and His gospel. I ask in His name. Amen.